Could we stand this morning for the reading of the word? You notice the bulletin, it says, ready or not, here I come. This morning, we're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And Revelation 1, verse 7 says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to be tackling a subject we don't really hear that much about in church, and that's the imminent return of Jesus. We don't hear that much anymore. Now, when I was young, we got to hear about that all the time. We heard a lot about Christ returning and how we were going to be snatched away to the heavens with Jesus, something that's called the rapture. Now, a lot of books and movies have been written about the rapture. But I think sometimes the local church has been hesitant to tackle this subject for several reasons. One of them is that there's been so many false predictions over the years, not by the church itself, but by outspoken people who thought they had it figured out. Now, just in the last few decades, we've seen many people try and set dates. They've proved to be an embarrassment to themselves and to a lot of other people and to the church, really, the church that knows better than to do that. I clearly remember in 1988, standing in the time clock alley at Albany Paper Mill where I was working, and there was a conversation going on about a popular book. How many remember a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988? You remember that book? Remember hearing about that book? It was a very popular book, yeah. They were talking about it, and they said, well, if it happens, we'll all get left behind. And they looked at me, and then he said, oh, except for Rooster. They called me Rooster. Yeah. So, but about his predictions, the guy that wrote that book, his name was Edgar Wisenant. He was a mathematician, not a theologian. And so he said this, only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. And I say unequivocally, there is no way biblically that I can be wrong. And I say this to every preacher in town. If there was a king in this country and I could gamble with my life, I would stake my life on Rosh Hashanah 1988. That guy was pretty confident he had it figured out. There's another dude. In 1994, Harold Camping decided that the Lord was going to come back in 1994. But then he changed his prediction. And you'll probably remember this because there was billboards and everything all over the place. May 21st, 2011, at exactly 6 p.m., and all the billboards say, the Bible guarantees it, this is when it's going to happen. All those billboards, all those commercials were paid by people who gave up their hard-earned savings, all their money, in a false confidence, in a false prediction, in a false prophet. If you look at history, there is literally hundreds of false predictions that have been made. You'll find a very long list of broken-hearted people with empty wallets and disillusioned souls because of that. Now, there's some who hear the word rapture and they say, aha, that word's not even in the scripture. It's just a made-up theology. Have you ever heard that before? Oh, yeah. But the answer to that is, of course it's not in the scripture. Neither is grace or sin or salvation or any other English word for that matter, right? We get the word rapture from the Latin translation of the word harpazo, Greek word harpazo, which is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the verse that we just read and that Dr. Wood just read. Harpazo and rapture both mean the same thing. They mean to catch away, to take by force, so that the concept what we call the rapture is the concept of being caught up into the air with Jesus, as was recorded in that verse. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read these words, and he tells us what the attitude of the world is going to be at the end times. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 3, says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last day, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created.'" Down to verse 8 says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow about keeping his promise, as some people think. No, he is patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, verse 15, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." When the last person to be saved comes to the Lord, he's coming back. And it could be today. The truth is, when you read biblical prophecy, you can understand enough of it to know you need to be ready. But on the other hand, it's never completely crystal clear until we can look at it in retrospect. That's just the way God designed it. So like it or not, he always leaves some little details ambiguous or unclear. That's why there's so many different views about, for instance, the rapture. We have the pre-trib view, the mid-trib view, the post-trib view. Lots of views. In fact, I've seen preachers that have been very dogmatic, teaching one way and thought it for years, and then they change their mind and they switch to the other way and they teach it just as dogmatically as they did the other way. And so it does not pay to get so dogmatic about any one position, thinking that you're the only one who has all the answers, because there is a little ambiguity in there that God had left there for a reason. But you know what? There is one prophecy that we can look at in retrospect, and so we can know for certain that we are close to the rapture of God. And that prophecy is the restoration of the nation of Israel. Now, Israel was reestablished as a nation in 1948. Never in the history of mankind has such an amazing thing happened to a nation. God would gather a people to their ancestral homeland nearly 2,000 years after being scattered throughout the whole world. He returned them to not only their land, but he restored them to the Hebrew language, which hadn't, even when Jesus was alive, they were speaking mainly Aramaic. So the Hebrew language was restored from thousands of years earlier to being their national language. It's absolutely phenomenal. It is an absolute miracle. They did this in 1948 while they were being attacked by nations that were very strong, and they had hardly any military. They had nothing. Anyone who honestly looks at the circumstances of Israel becoming a nation cannot deny that it is a miracle from God. Amen? It really is. And this miracle was prophesied in Scripture and scoffed at for many, many centuries. It's been called the super sign of the church. It has been said the generation that sees that super sign will see the return of Christ. My friends, since that sign has been fulfilled, we can be confident that Christ's return is close. So we had better be ready. Now the condition of the world we're in is also a sign that we should be looking up, because that's also prophesied. But regardless of whether it takes place today or years from now, you and I are all one heartbeat away from eternity. Just as Dr. Wood talked about, we're all at the end of our time, relatively speaking. Now, the early church, they expected Jesus' return at any time. There's a word, Maranatha. Maranatha is a Syriac expression, and it means our Lord comes. It was used as a greeting in the early church. Now, when they gathered together, they didn't say hello or goodbye. They said, Maranatha, Maranatha, reminding each other constantly that the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. If we had that same upward kind of look today, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people, us, would have a deepening awareness of the imminent return of our Savior. The bottom line is this. Do you know where you're going today? Let me just say this. If you're depending on the fact that you once upon a time raised your hand to accept Christ, or you said a little prayer, and you're depending on that to be your ticket to heaven, but you're not actually living for Jesus one lick, you're standing on very shaky ground. Jesus' intention for us is that he be the Lord of our lives. He died to give us freedom from sin. He died to transform us, renew our minds. Amen? That's what it's all about. So, are you truly ready this morning? Should Christ return today, or if you die on the way to the car this morning? None of us is guaranteed another heartbeat, and this life is just one little blip on the horizon of eternity. Now, I ran across this poem. There's a man in yonder glory I have loved for many years. He has cleared my guilty conscience and has banished all my fears. He is coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and no one will be allotted, no time will be allotted for you to utter one goodbye. No time to kiss the husband or embrace the loving wife if they are but united in the bonds of holy life. Are you ready, Christian, ready? For shout and trump and voice, will his coming make you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you walking, talking with him daily, taking him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath would waft you there? One of my favorite passages is in Titus. Chapter 2, 11 through 14. And it's where we get the term, the blessed hope, comes from that verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live upright and selfless, self-controlled, godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That is the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not truly ready today, or if you're unsure, today can be the day of salvation for you. Today could be the day you rededicate your life to Christ. If you've done so in the past, you've fallen away, you need to make a new commitment. Today can be that day. Are you ready this morning? Let's all bow our heads this morning. If you're unsure this morning that next heartbeat's going to take you into the presence of God, should it fail, or when that trumpet sounds, which is going to come very soon, that you will be in His presence. If you're unsure of that, and you want to make sure of that right now, this morning, slip up your hand and ask Pastor Tim, pray for me, pray with me, that I will know, thank you, that I will know for sure that I will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Thank you. Let's just pray this prayer together. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that your love never fails. I thank you that when I come to you, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I want my life to belong to you. Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.